Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Which one is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's
world service.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Okay everyone, grab your helmets, stick on your life jackets. Sturdy footwear is essential. We're about to do some whitewater rafting! Hi Murph.
Hey, ready? Dylan, how's it going? Yeah, let's do it. I mean, but is there a facility nearby that we could use?
Not yet, Murph. The first thing to say is that the two of us aren't going to be... We need six more bodies to fit out a raft for a
That's
start.
All right.
We need the thing to get built.
Surely, Odd, we could stretch the net out wide enough.
It's been called a white elephant by some, a grotesque vanity project by others. But the idea of a whitewater rafting centre in George's Dock in Dublin is still alive, albeit without having so far gained the necessary government funding. And this week on the World Service, we explore the idea in detail with Owen Keegan, Chief Executive of Dublin City Council. Here's a little snippet of how things went.
Dublin is a city where, a lot of the people who live there have been complaining that the whole accent of development seems to be on hotels, on offices, and not on things to improve the quality of life of people who actually live here. And even there, we're talking about like groups coming from offices or kind of corporate events. Or like, do you think that might be why a lot of people seem quite hostile to this idea?
I did say that like a huge part of this is the community that, you know, the arrangement we've made to facilitate community access in the Docklands community, right? And there is a significant, you know, there's the original community there. You know, there's a whole new community as well. But, you know, so we have given an absolute commitment to cater for particularly young people in that area, right?
Do they actually want access to this project that you're talking about giving them access to?
Well, you know, we believe there's significant local interest in this.
But why do you believe that? Because I haven't seen that from the reading I've done on this. I've seen opposition rather than support of it.
You know, the opposition, you know, there's a lot of, obviously, I have to say, there's been a lot of criticism of this project. There's no doubt, and people are entitled to their view. We still think, I mean, one reason is that the local elected members were very supportive of this project and have been supportive of this project. They want investment in the Docklands.
Like I said in the podcast, fair play to Owen Keegan for coming on and standing over the idea. Based on the comments we've received since, I don't think, put it this way, if you, like many of us, thought this was not a very good idea in the first place, it doesn't feel like anybody's been absolutely turned around on the subject. But certainly, if you want a good detailed look into Dublin City Council's thinking behind the project, it is waiting for you on the World Service. Like we said, Murph, I don't know, if it was built, you could give it a rattle.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I might do that. I mean, but there are, like, you wouldn't believe the number of great things that are in Dublin already that I haven't done. So I think I'd probably just stick it on the list that's headed by, you know, seeing the Book of Kells, which I still haven't done after moving here 18 years later.
But I'm from this fair city, Murph, and believe it or not, I don't think I've ever seen the Book of Kells.
Owen, when it opens up, what about it?
It feels like a more useful use of our time than the whitewater rafting.
Listen, forget about the whitewater rafting. I want an answer from you right now. When the Book of Kells is open again, when the viewing centre or whatever the hell they're calling it, Are me and you going to go on a day trip to the Book of Kells?
Can we have a nice cup of coffee or maybe even a pint afterwards? We haven't had that in a long time.
Oh, and we can do whatever the hell we like, okay. Remember? Soon our freedoms will be returned to us all. This is what we're going to do with them.
Of course, one of the issues people have with the notion of shelling out many millions of euro on whitewater rafting is that it seems somewhat absurd when the city, and indeed the country, has much more pressing concerns like the housing crisis. This is a subject on which Ken went deep today in his politics podcast when he welcomed Aidan Regan of the UCD School of Politics and International Relations back to the show. Aidan spoke brilliantly about all this in 2018 and now seemed like the perfect time for a bit of a refresher course, what with all the current focus on the role of international investors in the Irish property market.
You know, in practical terms, there's not much, that much difference if your rent is paid to like some fund that's domiciled in Delaware or like some Gombeen buy-to-let guy, you know, somewhere in Ireland. But it is different. Like, what I mean is this idea of, you know, here we all are in Ireland paying rent to like these massive international funds outside the country, that sort of strikes a chord right at the foundational story of the state. How can the people who are running the country, how can they not see how explosive that possibly is?
I think they do see how politically explosive it is now, right? Because the story is out.
But it took like this Sunday Business Post story and this sudden sort of catching fire of this thing for people to go, oh, hang on, you know, this isn't good. Like, you know, Inco stories, oh, hang on, this has been policy for like 8 years. And suddenly it's like, oh, no, hang on, people don't like this, so we better do something about this.
Yeah, no, it's quite remarkable. And I think, you know, it's a kind of classic case of quiet politics becoming very noisy. So I would, if these investors, these institutional investors, and not just the institutional investors, like the real estate investment trust, their managers, the kind of those who manage the contracts, even the local people here, I'm sure they would all say that a crucial ingredient for this to work is that it's kept very quiet. They would say, when they're dealing with these big investors, a core requirement that they need is just quietness. You know, we don't want this in the newspaper, we don't want this on television. So that's where obviously media and journalism comes in. That's what makes it salient. But as you quite rightly say, when you have, you know, basically fund managers with 260 odd subsidiaries in Luxembourg, you know, basically saying, no, I'm going to be a landlord now in North Dublin, right? This is absurd. And I think the government have just, it's like they look a bit like the kind of rabbit in the headlights at the moment.
He's got a really great way of taking a subject that can be tricky to fully grasp and making it really easy to understand. This guy should be working for UCD or somewhere, educating our youth. That's what I say. No, brilliant stuff.
Get on it, UCD.
Yeah, exactly. Sign this man up. Really stuff, good stuff between Ken
and that's Regan.
Owen Keegan, Aidan Regan. In very different ways, they can both lay claim to being the star of the World Service this week, but they'd be doing well to prize that title from the iron grip of the great Cork man, Marcus O'Sullivan, three-time world champion who blew us all away on The Game That Changed My Life. He spoke to us from his home around Villanova University, where he still coaches today and was an athlete himself back in the day. But things didn't go smoothly for him when he first landed in America, and when he came back to Cork after those early travails, he needed and indeed received a gut check of a conversation with his old coach Donny Walsh, who he found perched on a bar stool in the Swan Pub in the heart of Cork City.
I find Donny and Donny's sitting at a bar stool and he's having a drink and he's got his NCAA ring from his championship ring and he's tapping it away off the Heineken glass. And I just remember it was kind of annoying, you know. And he always made me keep a diary. And he said, I want you to bring my diary. So I bring the diary and he's flipping through the diary and he's tipping the glass and he's not saying anything. And I'm just sitting there waiting. And at the end of it, he looked at me and he said, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And it was quiet, and he said, you know, it's kind of disgraceful, really, when you think about it, he said. Excuse my French here, but eat or shit or get off the pot. But don't blame people for where you are and decide that you want to, if you want to be good, then be good. If you don't, that's fine too. And so at the next day, my roommate from college at the time was arriving in Ireland, and I kind of agreed with Donny, and I said, Donny, I'll start training. Give me one more week, and I'll start training. And he looked at me and he says, typical, come here, boy, you've wasted enough time already. I mean, either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it, right? And so that morning, I walked home that night. I felt like about 10 feet tall. I felt somebody told me, you're going in the wrong direction, caught me by the shoulders and pointed me, you need to be going in this direction. And the thing I learned from that conversation that night that really stuck with me for the rest of my life was that failure isn't the worst thing that can happen to you. Once you can start to learn to deal with it and you embrace it. The worst thing that could happen to you is in your heart of hearts, you know you're not trying.
Ah, the Swan Pub, Murph, I've checked with our own resident Corkman on the team, Killian Down, and the Swan is no longer with us. If you were to wander down that way, though, he said just a couple of doors from where it once stood, you can have a pint in Larry Tompkins's instead. So maybe that's something we'll do as well when we start getting around the place.
What a day we'll have. Yeah. Early morning, Book of Kells, Larry Tompkins pub to finish.
Yeah.
Where can we go in between? Go to Kilkenny. We've been drinking in a couple of lovely pubs in Kilkenny over the years. Yeah,
this is getting me in the mood. Now, by the way, Murphy, you did mark us a disservice on Monday. You were taking liberties. I think you said his Cork accent got stronger as he talked about his Cork days. And first, he was doing an impression of his old Cork coach. Let's hear it again.
Come here, boy. You've wasted enough time already. I mean, either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it.
Yes, Murph. So you know. It was Marcus parodying the Cork accent to a certain extent.
I still felt there was a bit of Corkness in there as he was talking,
before he lapsed into Tony Walsh.
Yeah, before the impersonation.
Mm. No, we actually have. I think we have audio of Marcus's response to that pep talk. It's amazing because it's kind of surprising that we would have audio recording facilities in the Swan Pub all those years ago. But there you go. This is what he said back to Tony.
What you think doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that was. That was Roy Keane, Murph. That's another famous Corkman.
I got there.
I just thought we had heavy enough clips. We needed something lighter to round things out. Not that Marcus gave us plenty of lightness there as well, I think it's fair to say. So that's
Listen,
it.
Listen, Owen, I like you and I like your style.
Owen, you're amazing.
What an amazing week. It's been really, really top week. There was a serious variety to it and a lot of great pieces. And we still have Man United against Liverpool tonight to come and whatever fan shenanigans go along with that. So we'll have a football podcast tomorrow. Thanks for listening to this one. Do consider signing up on secondcaptainsop.com for £5 a month. And I appreciate
I thought you weren't even going to mention it. I thought you were just going to leave it kind of as the subtext. Here is all these great clips, but, you know, do what you like. You know, it's a free country after all.
I think you probably
should mention it's just €5 plus VAT. Go to secondcaptains.com/join and take it from there.
Always be closing. And by the way, I should also thank everyone for listening in, as myself and Murph have kind of ironed out some of our cultural and social plans for the next couple of months. It's been nice to do this in front of everybody, Murph. Not even our members either, our non-members, who might think, why would I bother signing up to listen to Owen and Murph talk about going to see the Book of Kells and drinking pints? I mean, I have better things to do with my life. But listen, you've listened this far. So that's it. Let's wrap things up. Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Owen.
What is that? That's the second time he's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's
world service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.